I don't feel I'm quite done. I don't know who or how many people will eventually read this, but no matter how few they are, no matter how distant in time from this moment, I feel a responsibility toward them. And so, in case you are wondering, let me tell you. The house was not sold. Provision has been made in Miss Winter's will for the property, house and garden to be converted into a kind of literary museum. Coaches that bring tourists to the Bronte Museum can come afterward to Vida Winter's secret garden. Judith will continue as housekeeper. Hester, I discovered, went to America and worked as a clerical assistant to an academic neurologist. 3 years later, guess who came to join her? Dr. Maudsley. His wife died, nothing more sinister than the flu, I did check. And within days of the funeral, he was on the boat. It was love. They are both deceased now, but after a long and happy life together. They had 4 children and jointly published dozens of highly regarded articles. None on twins. I think they knew when to call it a day. Who looked after the cat? Well, Shadow came to live with me at the bookshop. He sits on the shelves, anywhere he can find a space between the books, and when customers come across him there, he returns their stares with placid equanimity. From time to time he will sit in the window, but not for long. He looks out, then turns on me a long, disappointed stare. I don't like to think that he is homesick. Dr. Clifton came to my father's shop. He happened to be visiting the town, he said, and remembering that my father had a bookshop here, he thought it worthwhile to call in, though it was something of a long shot, to see if we had a particular volume on 18th-century medicine he was interested in. As it happened, we did have one, and he and my father chatted amiably about it at length, until well after closing time. To make up for keeping us so late, he invited us out for a meal. It was very pleasant, and since he was still in town for another night, my father invited him the next evening for a meal with the family. In the kitchen, my mother told me he was a very nice man, Margaret, very nice. The next afternoon was his last. We went for a walk by the river, but this time it was just the two of us. I told him the story of the ghost at Angelfield. He listened closely, and when I had finished, he took my arm and we walked on. When Dr. Clifton visited my father's shop and saw the cat's sadness, he proposed to give Shadow a home with him. Shadow would be very happy back in Yorkshire, I have no doubt. But this offer, kind as it is, has plunged me into a state of painful perplexity, for I am not sure I can bear to be parted from him. In a letter, I betrayed something of these thoughts to Dr. Clifton. He replies that perhaps we might both go and stay, Shadow and I, for a holiday. He invites us for a month in the spring. Anything, he says, may happen in a month, and by the end of it he thinks it's possible that we may have thought of some way out of the dilemma that suits us all. I cannot help but think Shadow will get his happy ending yet. And that is all. Or nearly all. One thinks something is finished, and then suddenly it isn't, quite. I have had a visitor. She came not as a golden angel, nor as the cloaked spectre of death. She was like me, a tallish, thin, brown-haired woman you would not notice if she passed you in the street. She stepped toward me, put her arms around me, and pressed me to her side.